You're listening to AI InfoStories, real stories behind real ML challenges from real companies. This is Almog. I'm a cloud and ML infrastructure innovator.
This is Amit. I'm an AI research leader. In each episode, we will host a different guest who will share a story from their journey about the challenge they faced, how they solved it, and what the future holds for us. Let's get started.
Hey, so we are here today with Patrick Barker. Patrick is a staff machine learning engineer at One Medical. So Patrick, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you end up at building ML infra at the beginning, and what do you do at One Medical?
Yeah, a little bit about myself. Started my career kind of in energy automation, automating power plants, which was pretty fun but scary. If you messed up, you could literally blow up a power plant. So that was always an interesting thing we were up against. From there, I kind of got into big data, for a long time at a lot of ad tech companies. Then got into Kubernetes, and I worked in the Kubernetes kind of world since about 2016. I built out a couple SaaS platforms around Kubernetes, open source tooling. Then I went to go work for the creators of Kubernetes, Joe and Craig. They kind of left Google in a fit of rage, which was it's a pretty funny story. But they started a company called Heptio, and I got lucky enough to get on with them and built out some open source projects on Kubernetes and pushed some features into Kubernetes core. We got acquired by VMware, and I went over to VMware and built out some more Kubernetes products. And that whole time I was teaching myself ML because I just love ML. I think it's an awesome thing. I taught myself all the basics of ML, built out some ML apps. I wrote a couple of open source libraries doing machine learning in Go. I wrote a reinforcement learning library, kind of a high level, like Keras-like library for Go. I took a job in ML at VMware doing some end ML use cases around NLP, as well as building out ML infrastructure. So we're building out an ML platform that their engineers could use internally, as well as we could sell out to all of their kind of Kubernetes owners. And then I took a job at One Medical, and at One Medical, I've been building out, again, an ML platform. We've been building it in a more portable, Python-centric way than I previously built. So instead of using YAML, we're just kind of using straight Python. We're making it really, really compositional. And then, now I'm continuing to work on that, as well as some kind of end-user stuff around NLP at One Medical as well.
That sounds cool. It might be a silly question because I hear so many definitions for ML engineer. So how's your typical day look like? What do you do as an ML engineer?
Yeah, so as an ML engineer, I split up my time. We do full stack ML engineering. So we own everything from the data to the infrastructure to the actual models. So we're, One Medical, we're full stack ML engineers, the same at VMware. So you have to own the whole stack all the way down. But day to day, that involves, I work on a couple different projects. So we have kind of this platform project going that's been ongoing for about a year, and that's to kind of revamp their machine learning platform, which is currently ECS based. It's pretty painful to work on, and we're trying to move that all over to Kubernetes and utilize all the awesome open source tooling we're seeing out in the ecosystem right now. And we're just trying to make that really easy to consume for people. So part of my day is that. And then another part is definitely just working on ML use cases. One of the things I work on at One Medical is routing patient messages. So if you go and type a message to One Medical and say, hey, I need a COVID shot or whatever. Historically, we had really long response times. That's because the messages were getting routed to the wrong people. Now we do NLP on the message that comes in and label it, and we basically route it to, say, a doctor or an admin or the appropriate person, and we've cut down response times or improved response times by 70% by using NLP in that solution.
That sounds really interesting. Patrick, let's jump into the main part of the episode, and I'd like you to help to ask, what is the challenge that you're going to talk about? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, so both at VMware and One Medical, One of the big problems I've seen is we get a basic task. So a lot of our tasks at these companies are pretty simple. We're talking about like multi-class image classification, multi-label text classification. These are like pretty known problems, right? We've been doing them for a while now in ML. There's a lot of solutions that are in the market today. So one of the things I saw both of these teams spending a lot of time on was like, okay, we've got this basic problem. Let's just say we're doing multi-class text classification. And I want to just explore all the models that might work well for this particular type of data. And nowadays we have Replicate AI, we have Hugging Face, we have all the TensorFlow, PyTorch libraries. There's just tons and tons of open source models that you can utilize for a given problem. And for any given distribution of, say, text data, some of these models might work much better than others, right? A bidirectional LCM might work better than a transformer on a certain data set. I saw both these teams spending a lot of time exploring this, what I call known space. So these aren't like unique models. These are just like a bidirectional LCM. It's like a transformer pre-trained on some common tags. This is all known space. And these are all like open source models that are out there to consume. But the engineers are spending a whole lot of time just trying to connect up to these models, right? So like I have this multi-class text classification problem. I am trying to use this Hugging Face model. So now I need to convert my data to a way that Hugging Face can consume it, spin up the Hugging Face library, find a way of training that model using a GPU. So there's like a lot of integration that needs to happen with that. And now if I switch to a PyTorch model, I have to do that all over again for my given task. So I've been spending a lot of time working on a project I call ARC, which aims at simplifying this problem. It's a little bit kind of like Ludwig AI, if you've seen that, but it tries to define very generic machine learning tasks at the schema level. And from there, it basically connects everything for you to these common backends like Hugging Face, TensorFlow, to all this kind of known space we have. So you can say for a given task, like multi-class text classification, I can now spin up a bunch of models across all these different frameworks, train them in a distributed way, tune them in a distributed way, and evaluate them in a consistent way. That was another problem I was seeing was evaluation was highly inconsistent across frameworks, right? So if one data scientist picks up a model and evaluates it, say in TensorFlow, and then someone else picks up a Hugging Face model and evaluates it for what is the same task, they'll often maybe use different data and they'll use different metrics to evaluate it. And it was really hard to compare these things. Likewise, we also want to compare them against SaaS APIs, say AWS Comprehend for text classification. And like, how does my model that I've spent time working on actually compare against the SaaS model that we could be using and give an honest comparison? I found it really hard to do that in organizations. I found a lot of slipperiness around data scientists and MLEs presenting things in different ways that might be favorable to the work they've done as opposed to what is truly the best performing model for this problem. So I really want to, the product I'm trying to create is a little more like an internal Kaggle where it aims to just say, this is a competition, right? And like the SaaS solutions in the ecosystem are definitely players here that can compete on our task. And you can create your own models and you can also leverage these commoditized models out of the ecosystem towards this task. And then let's see which one actually win. So yeah, sorry, that was a very long rant, but that's roughly what I'm after it.
Yeah, that sounds super interesting and not common, I would say. But it seems like your solution has a few different layers. You talked about Hugging Face style, probably like other hubs, like a Torch Hub and TensorFlow Hub. So generally be able to access in this, because it's really simple to use through those hubs, usually the models. But if I'm a data scientist and I'm using PyTorch, maybe I'd like to consume it through PyTorch Hub. So that was the main problem. What was exactly the problem there?
Yeah, so the exact problem was, if I want to use a Hugging Face, so let's take Hugging Face, for example, and I want to use a transformer. So I go to Hugging Face, like we've got this problem, multi-class text classification. I'm going to grab up some pre-trained transformer, fine tune it to my task and do it for the job we're trying to do. So that data scientist MLE needs to like go to the data set that we're using. They need to massage it into the Hugging Face library because every library takes like different inputs in different ways. So that's part of the problem. They need to try on a bunch of different models and Hugging Face has a bunch of models to try from. they need to do this in a distributed way, and they need to train it with GPUs. So also like deploying a Hugging Face model in a way that I can train it on a GPU is like a whole set of work. And developers spend quite a bit of time doing this. Okay, now how do I like train this Hugging Face model on a GPU somewhere and evaluate it in a consistent way, and maybe send my evaluation back to some sort of model store or an alpha or something like that. So I just saw both of VMware and One Medical, I saw at least spending months on these tasks. And then even on top of just trying out a single model, now you have like ensembles. And oftentimes ensembles perform better than single models. And we've definitely seen that One Medical where ensembles of various types have performed better than a single model. So now you want to be able to like actually combine all these open source models that are out there and see how they perform in an ensemble as well. And that's a whole bunch of work. And so all this could be automated. And that's the system that ARC is trying to go towards, is to say like, all you need to do is define your task, which is multi-class text classification in this instance, provide me a data set. And now we provide the connectors out for you to just use any Hugging Face model, any Torch model, any TensorFlow model without needing to do any of that, massaging this into that framework. And then you can train them all distributed on Kubernetes, right? So you could train out 100 models theoretically at a time, all on GPUs, all on Kubernetes at the same time with a consistent evaluation and a consistent report coming back to compare these models. So that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like standardization all over, like it means like tooling and the tooling of like how to train to be able to utilize everything from the different platforms and also afterwards evaluate everything the same way. Yep. So that's, yeah, sounds like a really good.
Yeah, it's been really fun to build and it's been interesting. The other piece is problem that's been fun and that kind of fits into this is at One Medical, we have a real desire. Our core app's written in Ruby and another part of the app is written in Go. And we have a ton of machine learning problems. Just like, and there's so many machine learning problems in medical data. It's unbelievable because most of it is like doctors like handwriting a note. And there's a lot of valuable data that we can mine out of that. But to get that data, we obviously need machine learning. There's a strong desire at One Medical to enable all of our engineers to use ML. And this should happen ideally not in Python. It should be able to happen in any language. So along the lines of standardizing the model tasks, right? So like multi-class text classification, now I have this bridge to use this with all the open source models and all the SAS models. Likewise, I should be able to do that from any language. So not just Python, I should be able to train 100 models in Ruby. I should be able to train 100 models in Go. And this should all be possible by creating this sort of interface bridge between the model and the task you're trying to accomplish.
So you're saying Ruby and you're saying Go and you haven't said PHP, but you said so many languages. Yeah. I don't know, maybe someone wants to build a model with PHP on, and for God's sake, JavaScript.
I definitely want to support JavaScript too, yeah.
But who's using it? Is it like the data scientist? Is it software engineer, backend engineer?
Yeah, so any of the above, like in this world, the data scientist creates models, right? But models are commodities, right? So a data scientist, if they wanted to create a custom model, they could do that. But that custom model basically implements this API. And so if they create that model that implements this API, then any developer can use that API from any language to both train and deploy that model for any given solution. And that just becomes one more model that you can basically like use for a set of data. And then the ultimate goal, what I'm trying to work on right now, is integrating something like Ylogs, which is basically going to look at the distribution of data that we're taking in and help you select models based on the distribution of data.
Right.
Yeah. So how does it look like? Am I going into some UI and clicking, hey, this is the model I want and this is the code that I should use? How does it look like?
Not a UI yet. So we haven't gotten that far. Currently, the interface is only Python. Like I said, I'm starting to look at trying to expand this out to other languages. So I've really focused on like the model creation experience to start, because obviously we need a bunch of models. Part of my goal is pulling all the Hugging Face models and all the Replicate models and all the Torch app and all that. The other part is to make it really easy to create models on Kubernetes, which I think right now it's pretty hard. We have a lot of tools in the ecosystem. They don't glue together. I have kind of another project I call Lapbacks, which aims at making these tools a lot easier to consume. But even with that, I think the overhead's still pretty hard. So right now it's basically a data scientist or an MLE goes in, And they just implement a Python class, and that class can wrap any models. So you can wrap like a Keras model, and it just implements a basic generic type. So for being multi-class text classification, you just have an X and a Y. The X is a text and the Y is classes. And so your input output always has to follow these standard API types, and that's just enforced by the class. And then as you iterate on it, it just syncs your code, like R syncs your code up into Kubernetes. So it's just a way of like really easily using Kubernetes without like really, it has no backend dependencies currently. It stores all your artifacts as OCI artifacts. So there's just very few dependencies. It's super lightweight. You can just write code in Python. It'll just sync it up to your Kubernetes cluster and run it up there. And it happens pretty, it's just like a spin of a chair and your model is running up in Kubernetes with GPUs, whatever you need there.
So as a data scientist, I'm building my model. I'm wrapping my project with this class. And then how it goes to Kubernetes, I'm a little bit confused here.
Yeah. So this is an interesting part. So obviously there's some other libraries that do this kind of stuff like Ray, and I'm a big fan of Ray, but I'm not a fan of all of it. So like the Ray Kubernetes implementation, I think could use some work. And part of me starting this project originally was actually in reaction to Ray, because I felt the Ray model of syncing dependencies and local code just wasn't what I wanted. And I thought there was a lot simpler way to do it in Kubernetes. Basically how it works right now is when you go to say, hey, I want to run this model in Kubernetes, sync it up, it'll look at your current repo. It'll look at the closest Python project it can find. So wherever it can find a requirements text or environment YAML or a Poetry project, it'll grab up that and it'll create a container based on your environment. So what is the Python environment that you are currently executing on in your local machine? And then it'll create a container that replicates that environment up in Kubernetes. And then as you iterate on your code, it just syncs your code straight up into Kubernetes, basically by just like copying your code directly into that container. And that basically restarts a server. And then you're just interacting with that server to like train using WebSockets currently. I'm certainly debated like using gRPC here or whatnot. I've used a lot of gRPC in the past, but I really want to be able to access this from the browser as well. And there's gRPC web and stuff like that, but that's, I don't know, it doesn't work super well. So I just wanted to use plain old HTTP and WebSockets. So that's currently how it's functioning. Yeah.
Patrick, do you feel like the framework is more intended to experimentation, training, or is it more production oriented?
Currently, experimentation and training. Currently, the original goal was to just explore all the model space as fast as possible and to be able to create models in a really consistent way that they can be evaluated in a consistent way very rapidly. So like that was the initial goal. The framework was just this rapid iteration of known space and be able to add to that known space in a consistent manner. I do want to get to productionalizing this stuff, and we certainly have a means of taking these models today and running them. But I haven't fleshed that part out to where I would say I'm proud of it or anything yet.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. By the way, I want to share there, we're using something a bit similar, which is a framework called open source, ClearML,
allows
you. Yeah, you heard about it. Yeah, it reminds me a little bit. I think like maybe some of the extra benefit here that it's very native to Kubernetes and like the infrastructure.
I think it's the difference between ClearML and this. Yeah, there are definitely some similarities there. But yeah, this runs all open source on Kubernetes. There are no backends. And the reason I'm trying to create like an ultra minimalist framework that's still super powerful. So I'm taking a lot of inspiration from Golang, which is just, let's create the minimal set of things, but create a really strong tool chain that's easy to use. Everything's totally open source. There's no servers. You don't need to deploy anything. You just need Kubernetes and an image registry, and that's it. There's nothing to maintain. It's all what I call like just-in-time infrastructure. So it's just going to spin up what it needs as it needs it, and then it's going to destroy it. So you don't need to maintain it. It's just, I saw this as a big kind of barrier to entry for a lot of the ML tools, is they're so hard to deploy and configure. So I have this other project called LabPack, just try and make these things easier to deploy and configure. So like, how do you use Kserve with MLflow with prefix or flight and just connect those things and make them really easy for developers to spin up and utilize? So I have another project that does that and tries to make it easier, but like I can tell you it's very hard to consume these open source ML tools and connect them. It takes a ton of time. So a lot of ARC is a reaction to that and just saying, can we create something much simpler that gets the job done for 90% of the use cases. And maybe it doesn't touch everything and you have certain crazy production requirements that this one works for, but at least both at VMware and One Medical, this solves all the problems I've seen with that.
Yeah, that sounds super interesting. Looking on the future of this project, what do you see that maybe is missing for you? What would you like to implement next?
Yeah, totally. I definitely want to implement a UI to make it super friendly. And that's a whole world of implementing a UI. My wife is a former UI engineer, so I'm trying to convince her to write a UI for me. Otherwise, she doesn't feel up for that. I'm going to be writing it myself. But definitely the long-term goal here is to be able to connect every model to every language. And so from every major language, I should say, you should be able to train and productionalize every both open source and SaaS model.
Yeah, I think this is one of the most ambitious and really cool projects that I heard about in the infrastructure, ML infrastructure area. Another question, do you have thoughts about open sourcing this project?
Yeah, it's all going to be open source. I'm a couple weeks away from open sourcing, kind of the very start of it. I was hoping to have it ready by today, but I've had some hangups lately. A couple weeks away. I definitely want to open source it by the end of the month and get the initial one out there. It's still pretty bare bones, but I think people will hopefully find it useful in just running and training models in Kubernetes, and then it's kind of expanding out from there.
Yeah, so we're waiting for the definitely.
Yeah, totally.
That sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty fun. Yeah, I think it's a pretty interesting idea, and it's stuff that got me energized right now. So I'm hoping to build a little bit of a community around it, hopefully. And part of the things I'm trying to pull out right now, and I was chatting in the Kubernetes group that Molg and I are part of, is trying to separate out this notion of ML tasks. So what is multi-class text classification? What does that API look like? And is there a way we can get the whole ML ops ecosystem to agree on an API? Nothing beyond that, nothing in the implementation realm, but that people could implement below it, really Kubernetes way, right? Like Kubernetes created this one API that you can use across all the clouds and provides a set of functionality to do all these things. Could we do a similar thing for machine learning? And so far, it's a little challenging. There's a lot of vendors in the space, and there's a lot of all the vendors kind of will lock you into their own thing. And I'd really like to try to break that. Kubernetes is able to do that with the clouds, which no one thought was possible, but it was possible. And I wonder if we could just create an API that everyone agrees on, that this is an API for text classification. And if you're a client and you implement that, now you have a choice between a bunch of backends from this thing. Arc that I'm building could be one of those backends, but there could hopefully be many that people could choose to utilize.
Oh, this is definitely very ambitious.
Super ambitious. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was really fun. And before we finish, there is this question that I prepared all over the week, actually since last week. I prepared for this question, which is, surprising question. So I'm going to ask you a flash question, something really, really fun. So you should answer as fast as you can. There is no right or wrong here, just your honest truth. Don't worry, we won't tell your friends unless they're going to hear that because it's been recorded. So what is the first thing you do when you get to the office?
I get to the office and I'm mad. I sit down at my desk upstairs and I eat a full bar of 95% dark chocolate. And that's how I wake up in the mornings, and usually some peanuts and drink a little tea.
Oh, that's very specific.
Every morning.
Yeah, that sounds like a good way to start the morning with some energy.
Yeah, I can't do coffee for some reason. I don't know why. I just like coffee really gives me the jitters super bad, and I've just never been able to get over it. But dark chocolate, I just love. So
you're basically saying, oh, I'm going to do science all day long, so just you better just sugar me. And if it's sugar, I need to be energized or something like that.
Yeah, this actually has no sugar. It's just pure like dark chocolate, like stevia. I also do the keto diet, so I don't do any sugar. So this is just like pure cocoa, basically.
That's cool. Never heard about chocolate without sugar, but maybe I should do it.
It's a thing. Yeah.
That's fun. Stay tuned with us. And thank you very much, Patrick. That was very fun. This is definitely a very new concept and problem that we don't hear that much. I'm not talking about the chocolate anymore, right? I'm talking about...
It's a new thing too.
Yeah, thank you very much, Patrick. It was fascinating. And I'm going to use for sure the open source as it's going out. So you have at least the first user, maybe a contributor. We'll see.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Thank you all so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It was fun, John.
And thank you for listening to AI Infra Stories. Almog, did you have a good time?
Yes, definitely. Hamid, how can our listeners connect with us?
On LinkedIn, you can like our show and invite us to connect.
Wait. What about our Discord community?
Yes, you are welcome to join our community. The link is in the episode description.
Wait. What about our Twitter?
Yes, please subscribe on Twitter to hear when a new episode comes out.
Wait. What about rating us 15 out of 5 stars on Apple and Spotify?
Yes. Please rate us with a nice 5-star on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
See you next episode.
Bye-bye.